Feliz. Hello.
Good evening. This is Wernicke.
This is Priscilla. I just called in, so I guess I'm the first person.
Yeah, I imagine it'll probably be a couple minutes and more people will be coming in here.
So how often do y'all do the preference?
They do the calls on Thursday evenings at this time.
Okay.
So it's like 8:30 Central Time, and then yeah, you can do the math for the other time zones. I think
yeah,
we've got people from across the country.
So this will be my first time, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They Chris or Sophia or they kind of make an introduction at first and tell you that, okay, you know, so-and-so is going to open us in prayer, and then so-and-so is going to do a 15-minute kind of teaching testimonial on a particular topic, and then they usually have kind of just like a question and answer session if you want to ask whoever was giving the testimony, the devotional, any questions, and
mm-hmm.
then they close in prayer. Sorry, I have 5 kids here, and I may have to end up going on mute if they get any louder than they are right now.
I didn't promise you that.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening.
This is Chris.
Oh, there are people out here.
and there's Lisa. Do we have Sophia? No Sophia yet. Okay.
She should be joining soon because she's opening us up tonight.
Okay. Lisa, do you want to shoot her a text real quick?
I'm sending her one right now.
If you're able. Okay. I'm trying to log in here. Do we have our guest speaker for tonight? Lakeisha, are you here? Okay, we're scheduled to have a guest, Lakeisha, give her testimony, and I'm hoping she shows up. So we'll wait a minute or two.
Yeah.
This is Wernicke. I know we've got at least one first-time caller on the line tonight.
Okay.
So it might be good to just give an overview or something.
Oh, yes, we do that every call because we're hoping for more first-time callers. How are you, Wernicke?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Life's a journey, so it's always exciting.
All right. Sophia is texting me, so let's give her a minute. Because as soon as she joins, we can start. Okay, she's joining.
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Lisa, I'm going to be right back, okay?
All right.
How's everybody doing?
Hi, guys. Sorry about that.
Hey, Sophia.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good, good. I think we have a good turnout so far, and we're still waiting on Lakeisha. Chris just stepped away, but we're okay with you want to go ahead and open us up with, you know, what SOS is and prayer, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, good evening, guys. This is Sophia. Sorry I was, you know, a little late for calling in. So we're SO, well, Lisa, you know, reached out to Chris and I a few months ago and had this really on her heart to start a conference call just to kind of give encouragement to each other and just share our testimonies and ask questions and, you know, seek prayer for specific things. And the meaning of SOS is standing on Scripture. You know, whether it be you standing for a spouse or standing for a child or just a family member, friend. And so that's what we're all about. And I know today we have Lakeisha who's going to be calling in hopefully here shortly, and she will be sharing her testimony on her doing so. I know, Lisa, you're also going to be sharing a little bit for a few minutes, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'd like to do is just open up with prayer right now, unless you want to do it, Chris. Is Chris there?
He had to step away for a minute.
Oh, did he? Okay. All righty. No worries. Okay, then I'll open up with prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for allowing us all to come on tonight and share our testimonies with each other. At the end of the day, we have to remember that everything that we do and what we're doing is all for your glory. I pray that you give us ears to hear you, Father, eyes to see you, and a heart to feel you. And Holy Spirit, please speak to us. I know there are a lot of people that are questioning if this is really what you want them to do. And I pray that with Lakeisha's testimony or even just anything that Lisa says or that I say, may help somebody today and in their walk. So I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to pass it on to you, Lisa.
Okay. So what we're doing, our format these days, is that we want to continue to open up with just a few highlights on continuing to stay focused on God first, as well as speaking life. And so today I just wanted to share a few things that the Lord had given me, and I won't be before you long. I think I only have 5 minutes. So let me, I want to read a passage first out of a small book, and some of you may have it. It's called God's Creative Power Will Work for You, and it's written by a gentleman named Charles Capp. C-A-P-P-S, and he does have some YouTube videos as well. So, you know, take some time and look him up. But this one section of the book, and it's really a small little book, it's called Spoken Words. And it just says, spoken words program your spirit, heart, either to success or defeat. Words are containers. They carry faith or fear, and they produce after their kind. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and 17. Faith comes more quickly when you hear yourself quoting, speaking, and saying the things God said. You will more readily receive God's word into your spirit by hearing yourself say it than if you hear someone else say it. So this is just so critical to what we've been talking about with death and life being in the power of the tongue. I wanted to share with you Proverbs 13 and 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So I took that verse and I put my name into it. And when I prayed it, I said, Lisa, keep your mouth and I shall have life, but open it wide and I will have destruction. I encourage each of you to speak life into your covenant and trust God that the Holy Spirit will restore. And this is what I mean by speaking life into your covenant. My prayer is, Holy Spirit, restore humility, favor, love, peace, joy into my covenant. I renounce the spirit of pride. I break the spirit of adultery. Holy Spirit, fill me with the fruit of the Spirit. And whatever I feel like I'm lacking in that day, because it's just not one time. We're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and 23. Lately, I've been feeling really low in my spirit. Today was a really tough day for me. I texted a few people, and I was just like, look, I'm having a tough day. Please don't send me any words of encouragement, because that's not what I needed to hear right now. I just needed to share that I'm low in my spirit and really just pray for me, you know. But as I began to talk to God, I said, Father, I'm calling on you now to deposit into me peace. I need your love. I need your joy. And I was speaking that so that I could hear it and so that God would do that for me. And then John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Speaking God's word brings life. Someone posted on the RMM share wall, I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, but if someone on this call remembers who it was, please let's give credit to whom credit is due. But they posted the do and the don't list. You all remember that? And there was a couple of things that really stuck out. It says, do not correct your spouse. In order for me to correct my spouse, I'd have to be speaking. So it's, once again, going back to Charlene, zip your lips. Do not complain to them. Once again, zip your lips. Do not make comments. Zip your lips. Do not criticize. So all of these things require us to open our mouth. And if we can follow these rules, and the one was do not control, all of these items, you have to open your mouth. And when you do, what you're doing is you're giving the enemy grounds to fight with you. And we cannot win with the enemy by trying to fight with them with our words. The best thing is to give them God's words and to take it in prayer. So last but not least, this is the last scripture that was given to me today, Psalms 46 and 10. And basically what happened was I was sharing with the individual, a very spiritual, prophetic lady. I said to her, I'm so tired of the other woman being in the picture. Why won't she leave? I was just, like, frustrated. And I'm like, it's been years. Why is she still there? We're praying. We're fasting. Why is she still there? And she said, Lisa, I hear the scripture that says, Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And that's the scripture that I leave with each of you tonight as well. So with that said, Chris, are you back?
That doesn't sound like it.
And I am back.
Okay, can I add something to that, Lisa?
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry. I just felt it in my spirit just to add that, I mean, when we speak the armor of God on us, it's not just, to protect us, but it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when you feel those negative emotions coming at you, you know where they're coming from. You speak the word of God over yourself. That is the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the gospel. Speak it over yourself. And I've had to learn this myself, you know, like I write scriptures that have stood out to me, that have spoken to me. I keep them on my iPhone, on my notes. And when I start feeling like, you know, the feelings of hurt or past pain, I speak the word of God over me. And, you know, I get better. You know, I just keep reading and keep reading and keep reading. And then eventually, you know, I start feeling better. So that's the whole purpose of the armor of God, is speaking the God, speaking the word of God over yourself every day, all throughout the day.
Breaks. Yeah, that makes sense. Until that spirit breaks off of you, because it's going to be on you until you keep saying the word.
Okay, sorry.
No, thank you for sharing. So let's give our speaker, Chris, you want to go ahead and introduce our speaker? Hopefully she's on the call.
She is. We have Lakeisha here, and she's going to share her restored marriage testimony. And Lakeisha, you got the floor.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me on. I just want to say, first of all, give all honor and glory to God, who made all this possible. My testimony is, I'll try to do it a brief version of it. It was a lot going on in my life leading up to my marriage breaking, the breakdown of my marriage. I've been saved now for about 14 years. Went to church regularly and faithfully. I won't say I was a surface Christian, but I was a surface Christian, if you know what I mean. I grew up in the Baptist church, and one of the things they said is, like, once you're saved, you're always saved. So doing certain things, drinking and hanging out or doing those other things, I looked at it as a small sin. But it says in the word, like, little foxes kill the vine. So you can't do even jesting and jiving is, in the word of God, things that you shouldn't do. But I slowly, over the years, I was backsliding, basically, and starting to hang out and starting to drink, starting doing those things, and it affected my marriage. When I met my husband, neither one of us were saved. So when I came, matter of fact, I've been married 15 years. It'll be 15 years in November. We've been together for 19 years. So we have three kids together. He had a child before the marriage. I had a child before the marriage. I was married once before, right out of high school. I didn't, 18 years old, I got married to my high school sweetheart. That unfortunately didn't last but 2 or 3 years. And the product of that was a child. Anyway, I got saved before he got saved. And my thing was, once I accepted Christ, I felt like the glory of God. I was on a high. I was so high. Oh, my God. I was reading the word. I was doing, you know, everything. But I wanted, like, I thought that once I got saved, like, he would see that in me and he would just automatically get saved. Just automatically. I don't know what I was thinking, but I just thought that he would get saved. But after the years, you know, went on, I knew that was something that, you know, he had to accept on his own, that God is a gentleman and he won't force his will on you, and that you have to let him into your heart and let him in order, you know, to receive him fully. And I grew weary with the situation. But back to leading up to the, you know, the breakdown of my marriage all the way was, for the last maybe 6 or 7 years, we've been, you know, battling back and forth. I've been trying to force him to go to church, doing this, doing that. But I wasn't all the way in the church myself because I had got to the point where I was like, what am I going for? I'm not seeing any fruit from me going, even though the fruit was, you know, I was going for myself, but I also wanted to go for my family. And I thought that, you know, once, like you said, I got saved, the whole household would get saved. But anyway, I started to begin to hang out a lot more. That included drinking, smoking. I had a church member of mine. She was a young lady who actually introduced me to Christ, and she's the reason why I started going to church in the first place. I used to visit her home. Anyway, she was one of my closest friends. She introduced me to her husband right when I got saved, so I've known the couple for about 14 or 15 years. This is going to tie all in if you listen. 14 to 15 years. I've known the couple. I won't say their names, but I've known them. They've tried to counsel me and my husband. I've been to their home. We went on vacation with them. And so at the very beginning, she said, oh, you can talk to my husband. You can call him anytime. You can talk to me. You can call me anytime. Okay. So, you know, we were all friends, me, my husband, her husband, and her. And so, but eventually, a couple of years went by. She ended up leaving the church. She actually went to another church of a different faith. She became a Mormon. She was a Christian, but she became a Mormon. So her husband, they were having problems in their marriage. So he would come to me, and he would talk to me, and we would talk a lot. Never mind you, I worked with him as well, because we all used to work together except for my husband. So I saw him at church. I saw him at work. And he began to confide in me. I began to confide in him. And
what call?
Huh.
Okay.
So.
With a ministry group. So.
So, I'm sorry, that's my husband. And so, y'all still there?
Still here.
Okay. I'm trying to make it. I'm going. So, we became close friends. About 4 years ago, he ended up leaving the church because he was a deacon at our church, and I don't know exactly what happened between him and my pastor, but he left the church as well. So at first, he, you know, would always just want to talk about church and everything, and we would talk about the Lord and how good the Lord was and stuff, but he started confiding in me about the breakdown of his marriage. I began to confide in him about the breakdown of my marriage and my finances and a lot of things in our lives weren't lining up like we thought they would, because we were seeking God and everything, and we were going to church, and we thought we was living this, you know, this life where God was just supposed to bless us. But, you know, like I said, I began to hang out and do certain things, but I still wanted my marriage to work. We began an affair. Yes, an affair. I'm trying to be as transparent as I can. This is very hard, never mind you. We began an affair, and at first it was like an out-of-body experience because I had never cheated on my husband. From what I know, he had never cheated on his wife. We were supposed to be good Christian people, and we let the devil in through just trying to compensate for what our spouses wasn't giving us instead of us seeking God for a deliverance, praying, fasting, and doing those things. Because during that time, I heard about fasting and praying and everything, but I never really, never did it, to be honest. Anyway, it went on for about almost 2 or 3 years, off and on. Eventually, both of our spouses found out. It was people at the job that would call, because he was my supervisor, so it was affecting my job. People would say things, and my boss would say, you can't, you know, speak to her. You don't, you know, if you spend too much time in her office. I mean, it was during this time, God was always speaking to me and telling me that I needed to let the situation go. I listened to God's word and his spirit. I was, you know, hearing it, but that time I was just like, this is something that I need. This is something that I need and I want. I hadn't been getting this in my marriage for a number of years, and this person was providing that for me. And it says that it's always a warning before destruction. God always gives you the warning before destruction, and it's up to you to heed that warning. But I didn't heed it. I went full straight ahead because the devil was really speaking to me. I had some friends around me. They were like, girl, this is what you need to do. You getting what you need. Your husband not giving you what you need at home. And, you know, they like, God forgive you and all this stuff. And I was just like, okay, this is what I need to do right now just to satisfy my flesh. But every time that I would be with him or talk to him, it was always, I really used to get vexed. But I used to just be like, okay, I just shook it off because this is something that the devil's really speaking that I needed. Anyway, our spouses found out. His spouse, which was, you know, a friend before, she actually divorced him. My husband, he separated from me. He left me. And that was, like I said, about 7 months ago. He left me, and he said he wanted divorce and that he never wanted to speak to me again. He never wanted to be around me again. And I was left just in a whirlwind. I mean, my life was just flipped upside down. I didn't know what to do. I was like, God, what am I supposed to do now? What was I supposed to do now? And instead of listening to God, I continued to hang out. I continued to drink and smoke and for about 2 or 3 months. The guy, he was there. He wanted to move in right away. When his wife left, he was ready to come and move with me. He was ready to get into the relationship. He wanted to go full throttle with the situation. But I can't do this. And so finally, about 2 or 3 months after my husband left, I ended up breaking it off with him. And I told him that I had made a mistake, and this is not what God wanted for me. Right after that, even though I had stopped going to church, I had my mom and my sister. They had came. My sister lives in Georgia. My mom lives here. They came to visit me, and by that time, I was, like, fully in the depth of depression. After I broke it off with him, I went into a deep, deep depression. I was about to lose my job. I was having having anxiety attacks, panic attacks. I've never had those before, where it was uncontrollable. My heart palpitations. I mean, the full on, you know, everything was going on. And they said at my job that if I couldn't come to work and perform, that I would be fired. In the midst of this, the guy who I was talking to, who was my supervisor, he got fired. He got into another altercation with another employee, and they fired him. So now at the job, people are saying, you caused all this. So I'm dealing with the job. I'm dealing with the shame of my husband leaving me, of his wife divorced him, and to top it all off, the pastor of my church was her uncle. The woman that I slept with, the husband that I slept with, my pastor was her uncle. So I was shamed from the church. I was shamed from my job, and I was shamed from my marriage. And I ended up, like I said, my mom and sister came to visit me, and because they said I need to go get help, because a week before that, before the visit, I tried to take my life. The devil was telling me, you don't deserve to be here. You've ruined everybody's life. You've ruined your kids' lives, your husband's life. You are ashamed at the job. And I had a handful of pills. I came home from work, and my daughter's in college. She's, you know, going to state community college. She was here. She said, Mom, what are you doing? I said, I'm just going to go in my room and lay down. I don't feel well. I came in my room, and I locked the door. And I was going to take my life that day. My daughter busted in the door, and she said, Mom, why would you do this? Why would you leave us? Why would you do this? And she was just saying, like, why would you do this? And so I was still just numb to the whole situation, because I went against everything I thought I believed in. I was just in my eyes, the worst person that you could imagine, because I just felt so much shame, so much guilt. But anyway, I went and checked myself in to a hospital, and I stayed there for about 6 days. And during that time, God was just speaking to me and telling me, if you repent, if you truly repent, I will bring you out of this situation, but you got to fully repent. And I was like, I said I was sorry, and it was like, you got to purge yourself, repent. And it just was saying repent, and I was like, okay, I said I was sorry. It was like, what else do I need to do? And he was telling me, I need to, everything that I thought that I was doing as being a Christian, it was all wrong. And that he wanted a relationship with me. It wasn't just about going to church. It wasn't about just reading the word. It was about a true relationship. And he wanted to be my husband, first of all. He was going to be my husband. And he told me he was going to work everything out of my marriage. And I was like, Lord, it's so, you know, it don't sound right, but I said, okay, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I rededicate my life back to you. I purged my body. I consecrated my body back to God. I said, anything and everything that's not of you, just take it out of me. Just take it out of me. And in that moment, I felt just a rush of God coming over me. The peace of God came over me. And I just felt so light. It was just like the burden just lifted off of me, just my spirit. It was undescribable. But I laid there in that bed And I said, Lord, if you just deliver me, I'll give my life to you, and I'll begin to serve you. And so once I got out of the hospital, I began to go back to church. Now, during this time, I called my husband a couple of times, and he answered because he knew the kids had called him, telling him I was in the hospital. He answered, you know, he spoke a little bit to me off and on, but, you know, for about 3 or 4 months, it really wasn't any contact. He would get the kids some, and he would see me, but he didn't want to have anything to say to me. After I got out of the hospital, I began to seek God. I really began to seek God. I have scriptures. I began to journal and have scriptures. I wrote scriptures. I got so many scriptures that I still speak now. I end up taking a month off of work, and during that whole month, I would just sit in my room, and that's all I would do is just read the Word of God. Second Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and of love and of a sound mind. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. I give unto you, let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I get on marriage, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I just begin to quote these scriptures. I begin to pray. And then I ended up calling the first lady of my church, the minister's wife, and I began to talk to her. And she said, we hadn't seen you, and we've been trying to call you. You won't answer our calls. You won't call us back. And, you know, I just ended up confessing basically my sin to her. And she said, all is well. We love you like our daughter. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We would never not want you to come back, and we forgive you and we love you. And I was like, Lord, I begin to pray. I'm like, Lord, is this where I need to go? Do I need to go back to this church? Because I felt so much shame. But when I went back that first Sunday, it was the peace of God over me. I knew that this is where I need to be. And I went into my pastor's office, and he said, I knew the Lord had told me to cover you, to pray for you. I knew what was going on. I've known for a long time, but I knew God was going to bring you out of it. And I just began to weep and bawl, and I weeped for a good about 10, 15 minutes, because I felt like the peace of God on me. And I was just like, Lord, thank you. And I began to ask them to pray with me and fast with me for my marriage. And my pastor and his wife began to pray with me and fast with me for my marriage. I began to reach out to my husband, and at first he would not even answer a text or a call. And I started off with small things. I would say, good morning. That's all I would say would be good morning. And I would just wait. I would wait and I would wait. I'm like, is he just going to say good morning back to me? Good morning. That's all I want to hear is a good morning. And so he began to say, good morning. That's all he would say. So for about a couple of weeks, all we said to each other was good morning. But just seeing that, having that, it made me say, okay, Lord, this is going somewhere. But I'm not going to tell you, during this last couple of months, it's been off and on. And we actually got into several arguments. I went even though I was fasting and praying, I was like, God, it's not working fast enough. So I was like, you know what, I can't do this. I'm just going to go to the lawyer's office, and I'm going to see about filing for a divorce. And, you know, he can get out of the – he can leave the marriage. It would not be unlawful because I did commit adultery. So if I was trying to make it where I was just wash my hands of the situation and start over again, to be honest. But I went to your lawyer's office and I sat outside for the longest, and I was like, Lord, just if I need to do this, just let me know, you know, give me confirmation. And he was like, no divorce. And I'm like, and he kept saying to me, restoration. And I'm like, how? He don't want to talk to me. The most he is saying is good morning. And, I mean, the last couple of times of interactions we've had, it's been arguing. And I did go into the office. I did get the consultation, though, because I was like, this is just my flesh, man. I mean, I didn't think it was the spirit of God. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't lose anybody.
I do.
Like, I'm like, is this my flesh? Is this God? I need confirmation. I need confirmation on everything. I used to be asking for confirmation. Anyway, I got the consultation, and she was telling me how much it would cost, everything, if she would come to the table. So that day I called him, and he did answer the phone, and we began to talk. And I was like, look, I know you don't want to be with me anymore. We've been separated for about 4 or 5 months at that time. And I was like, let's just let it be over with. And he was like, no. I was like, what? He was like, no, I don't want the divorce. I don't want a divorce. I'm like, what? What? I was like, well, I mean, we haven't been talking. He was like, well, you know, I just been thinking about it. And he was like, I do love you. I do want to be with you. He was like, how about we just date and start over? I was like, what? He was like, how about we just date and start over? I was like, okay. I was like, so what, I mean, how do we do that? You know, I mean, we've been married all these years. Date? I mean, I was just like, just come home. I mean, you know, that's in my mind. Just come home. How do we got a date? But I went home. And I was crying because I was like, Lord, I know you're moving. I know you're doing something, because the day you told me no, that you was going to restoration. And I did ask for confirmation. And when I called him that night, that was my confirmation. I said, God, you are real. You are real. And I talked to my pastor, and I was like, Pastor, he said he doesn't want a divorce. He was like, yes, I've been feeling it in my spirit. The Lord been saying restoration. Now, this is not, I didn't tell my pastor that's what God had been speaking to me, was restoration. But he said on the same conversation, restoration. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go with this. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, still, I see you request. I was just still questioning it, because I was like, this don't make no sense. This don't make no sense. But anyway, we went out on our first date. That was maybe the weekend. I went to that consultation maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday. We went on our first date maybe that, I think it was Saturday. It was the weekend. It was horrible. It was a horrible date. I mean, I'm for real. It was awkward because I hadn't, you know, been around him. We hadn't been talking. We hadn't slept together. We hadn't, you know, it was awkward. and we began to talk about the affair. And that's what he really wanted to know. He wanted to know details. And it wasn't a good day. I ended up crying, and he ended up very angry. And we went our separate ways. So I began to just go back into the fasting, go back into the praying, quoting my scriptures. Then I began to look into spirits. And it says, in like in the Word of God, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but spirits, principalities, and then pulling down of strongholds. And I began to go into looking up spirits because I'm like, I want to know why I was acting the way I was acting when all this was going on. Why did I say I served God and then I was doing certain things? And I began to just YouTube like the Jezebel spirit. That led me to YouTubing spirits, Leviathan. That's like these spirits of control, manipulation. They can, I mean, if you go and research the spirits, you'll learn more about the spirits. And I'm like, oh, my God, I was operating in that spirit, and it was demonic, and it wasn't of God. And that's when I really started to begin to pray against those certain spirits and asking God to loose me from those certain spirits and to loose my husband. And I began to... then I began to anoint my home with oil. I began to anoint everything with oil, to be honest. I was just trying to break the curse off of my home. I began to, sometimes I would drop, you know, I began to ask my husband if he want me to bring him lunch. And some days he would say, yeah, I can bring you lunch, because he began to open up. He's like, yeah, you can bring me lunch. I anointed the lunch box. I was anointing everything with oil and just praying in the spirit. And the last couple of dates that we had before he came home, they began to be sweeter. We went to the movies one time, and we had a good time, and we just talked about, you know, old times and things we used to do when we were young, when we first met. I could just feel like God just breaking down the walls, breaking down, like, the walls of his heart. And this just made me want to go just even stronger for the Lord. During that time, God was telling me that I had a ministry, that I would be a testament to other people of how he brought me from the things that I used to do to being a woman of God. In that, he told me I had the power to bind and loosen my mouth, and that I need to operate in my gifts and the gifts of the Spirit, and just to speak and to be able to talk to people about my situation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, I don't want people to know my dirty laundry. Like, mm-hmm. This is something that I didn't want anybody to know about. You know, I tried to hide it from my family, you know, from the church. But God said he needed me to be transparent, because people, you know, we look at certain situations, and it's a lot of time we say it's the man that has done things in the marriage or stepped outside of the marriage, and people needed to know the perspective of a woman who's done it. And and I just thought people would judge me, and I didn't want to be judged. I didn't want people to be like, she's a, you know, a adulteress. But God said, I have forgiven your sin. I have washed you clean. And he began to tell me about, you know, women in the Bible, like Mary Magdalene. I mean, this was a woman, a prostitute, you know, and people and other, and sending me to other women in the Bible. The woman with the alabaster box. Who broke the oil over Jesus' feet. And he just began to say, just like they had a testimony and we're still speaking about that testimony now, it blesses and touches other people's heart when they can see what you've overcame. But anyway, just fast forwarding to recently, me and my husband, we talked about him moving back home, and he was saying that he still needed to see some changes in me and some things that he wanted me to do. And first of all, you know, a couple of months ago when it first happened, I had to cut the guy off, but of course, and the friends that I was hanging with, I need to stop talking to them too. And so I did those things, and we actually had with my pastor and his first lady a couple of times. We seek counseling, and I've been actually in therapy this whole time since I got out of the hospital. I've been seeking therapy, so I have a therapist, and I have a therapist. And I seek counseling through my church. We seek counseling through the church. I'm still believing my husband gonna get saved, and God's been speaking that next that He's gonna save him, and I believe God because He worked it out for me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he moved back home about 2 weeks ago. So about 2 weeks now, and he's been back home. And it's been peaceful. We've hadn't had any arguments, and the love is like different because God is just like, I want to get angry. I can't even certain things. He still to do certain little things. I'm not saying our marriage is perfect, but God is telling me you have to love him. You have to love him with an unconditional love, with an agape love, with an honoring love, with a respectful love. Like you have to honor this man, and you have to treat him like you should have treated him multiple years ago, and that he's going to work everything out. And so that's what I've been doing. I'm continuing to anoint. I'm continuing to pray. I was on a fast last week, and I'm going to continue to fast and pray and believe God is going to fully restore my marriage. And I know he's already working it out, and I know he's going to continue to work in me and through me, and our relationship is going to be a testament to what God can do. That's about all.
That's amazing. So, Lakeisha, we probably have a few questions.
Okay.
Because the hour has grown so late.
I know.
We're going to try to ask. That's okay. We're going to try to see if we can get maybe a couple of questions, and if you can maybe try to get straight to the point with the answer, then we can get in more questions.
I'm going to get straight to the point.
All right. So I'm going to open up the floor to questions at this time. Does anyone have a burning question for Lakeisha? Mm-hmm. And
Mine's real quick, Lakeisha. What changed in your husband to change his mind for him to come home?
He said that he saw a change in me. He saw a change in me, and that it's something that he hadn't seen. and he knew that it was something different, and that he was willing to try it again, to try it again. But at first, it wasn't like that, because at first, I was still out in the world, and I was, you know, doing a lot of things, but God began to work on me, and I believe God began to work on his heart, too. But he said he saw a change in me.
Mm.
He saw a change in me. He didn't know what it was, but he saw a change in me. So I believe that God can open up the spiritual eyes and the heart. And I think just through my, just, it says chase words, and the things I used to do, I didn't do. I wasn't quick to argue. I was just honoring him, because, I mean, we used to get into some bad fights, and I used to say some ugly things, curse words. I mean, oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, for me to go from that to, okay, baby, you're right. I understand. It's okay. I love you. I mean, just, you know, when he came with something negative, I came with something positive, and then I actually began to send him prayers, things on YouTube. I mean, I began to just try to combat every negative thing with something positive in the Word of God. I mean, I used to, yeah, and so that's what I did, and I think he really saw a major difference, you know, in me. So,
okay, thank you.
Yes.
I don't have a question, but do a thank you for your testimony. I was on mute, but I was, like, tearing up the whole time you were talking. So that really related your story, and I want to say
it's a journey going through this of just how God can just, when you think you are at your wit's end and you don't know which way to turn and what to do, when you just give everything over to him and tell him to take the reins of your life, how he will just work things out for you. And like 7 months ago, I thought my life was over. I mean, my job was in jeopardy. God saved my job. My job was in jeopardy. My household was broken. My kids were distraught. It was bad. And from there to now, and to see how God I just always say God is so real. People don't understand that, how real God is, and how he said, a broken and contrite heart I will not despise. How when you are broken, how when your heart is open and you really want the true things of God, how he will move for you. And I know that he has a lot more in store, and I mean, I'm ready. I told the devil he can't ever come back in my household again, ever. And he can't ever have me, because I'm God's child, I'm his daughter, and I know that he has something for me, and I'm just believing God for it. I'm just believing God for it. You got to have some faith. You have mustard seed faith. You got to have some faith, and you got to believe God's word. And when you're doing what you're supposed to do, he'll honor that. And I believe that. And I believe it wholeheartedly.
Are you going to put your testimony on YouTube? Like, make a video?
Oh, my God. God, you're telling me to do that. Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, girl.
Confirmation. Oh, my God, this is confirmation. I've been
you just got your
know,
confirmation.
I've been thinking about that for, like,
amen.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I just thought about that like a day or two ago. I was like, oh God, it just sent chills down my throat. Oh my God. Oh.
I'm hearing your testimony and I'm sitting there like, this has to be on YouTube. People need to see this and hear this.
Yeah, and I agree, Lakeisha, and mm-hmm. you know, I appreciate you sharing your testimony. This is Sophia, sorry if I interrupted, but I like I like the fact that you touch on, you know, the demonic spirits, the Jezebel, the Leviathan. I mean, this is real stuff, and it's in the Bible.
We need to pray for deliverance from
these spirits.
I pray for deliverance for these spirits. And these are things that I never knew about. Like, I thought demons was like little things that run around, you know, for real, like in horror stories. I mean, like, I didn't know this is actually spiritual warfare. I mean, and then I just started researching those spirits. I was like, oh my God, people are operating in these spirits. And they, you know, you gotta pray against those. You gotta renounce those spirits. You gotta, you know, call your flesh in submission to those spirits, because people walk around, you know, you think it's just, they're just an angry person. No, those are demonic spirits working within those people, working within you, you know, too, if you let them. And so I just began, it's a lot of spirits. Oh my God, the Python spirit, the spirit of Baal. It's so many spirits. I just began to research those spirits, and those are in my prayers. That's my daily prayers. I pray against those spirits daily.
Lakeisha, was your husband standing at all? Was he praying for you to return, or was it all, sounds like it was really all with you?
It was really all with me, but when we began to counsel with my pastor, he began to, they used to pray over us, and we would join hands. And so that's when I knew God was really working, because he would not go to church. He would not, I'm being honest, would not go to church, would not, he didn't want to go to any kind of counseling, but when he would talk to my pastor and he would talk to my first lady, so I knew that God was working, because I just knew that God was softening his heart. And I believe he did pray for me. I believe he did pray for me. Like I said, it's still fresh into us being restored, so we really haven't had a lot of time, because I really want to get his thought process or whatever while we were separated. So, and that's something that I want to, you know, talk to him about to get his side of the situation, so I can have both sides of the situation. You understand what I'm saying, kind of?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something that I know we'll have a conversation about. I appreciate you guys.
Uh-huh. Oh, I was going to have a statement. This is my first time on, and I'm so glad I'm on here. Like, I really, really needed this, because I think we kind of have the same personality. Like, I asked God 115 times, I need a sign. And I know God is telling me to do one thing, but then I get into my flesh and like, oh, no, okay, I'm going just double check. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to say that. And I know I can't keep giving God something and then taking it away and then trying to handle it myself. So I'm really, really trying to work on that. But I do like the fact that you bit about the spirits and things. Because, like, I've tried to ask my husband about divorce. He doesn't want a divorce. He tells me he loves me. He prays for me. But then at the same time, I'm just like, okay, God, is this a mind game? Like, what is this? Like, is he just really trying? Is this like, oh,
yes.
Just
no.
Share it? Like, you know, so I have an internal battle that I have going on. And then I fear God so much and I love God so much, I don't want to go out of his will. And then at the same time, I get so proud of when I, you know, accomplish the zip of my lips, because I'm a passionate person. So when I go to pat stuff on the back, and it's like that's when the enemy like really like, oh, and like he throw a thought or something like, and then from there I just go into my flesh. Then I'm just like, okay, God, I just made a big old mess. Like, and that's what I'm trying to get.
Now, I did that. I put my foot in my mouth so many times. Believe me, over the last couple of months, put my foot in my mouth, and at first I was like, Lord, okay, look, is this you or is this my flesh saying I'm gonna be restored and my husband's gonna come home? That he telling me he loved me, like you say, he didn't want a divorce, but it was just like he wasn't coming. He wasn't coming home. But I mean, God just, he would take me back to his word. He would give me, you know, I would open up my Bible that day. It'd be a confirmation of a word or something that I needed in my spirit. So you just gotta make sure that you're in that word and you're doing what God says, and I believe he's gonna work it out. You have to let him fight the battle for you. You can't do it on your own. And it wasn't. I cried and I nagged and I did a lot of things. And God says that he has to do it for me. The words that I speak, whatever actions I was trying to do so many things. But God was like, I got to do it. It has to be me. So you can know that it's of God. Because if I did it, you know, it'll be just like I did it. But if he does it, he's going to make it perfect. It's going to be, you know, not perfect, but he's going to, well, perfect. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be his will. So he's going to do it in his time and not on my time and not on my season, not on my schedule, but on his time.
Yeah.
So,
and then
we just have
to, because my husband is not home, so it's vice versa. Yeah. But I can relate to so much of what you said, as far as personality and things of that sort. Like, what I get is, like, I feel embarrassed. I feel humiliated. Like, I don't want to go to church because I'm like, people are like, where your husband? You know, the devil does attack me with that sometimes. And so, but then I get like these so-called, I don't want to say they're not Christians, but they're like, oh, God is trying to give you a way out. And
I heard that so many times. Oh, I'm still hearing it.
Don't you see, how many times he going to tell you what he's trying to do? You don't see he moved them out the way? I'm looking like, but then I get, so then.
And I curse it from the pit, from the root, from the pit of hell. And I curse that, and I say every word curse spoken of my marriage, I renounce you in the name of Jesus. I mean, I would just cast it back down because I know the word of God. He said, what he has joined together, no man put asunder. And I just began to speak the word of God. I used to have to go to my car. I used to have to go into the bathroom or whatever. I would cry and I would get out my word and I would speak those words. I would speak the word of God. Whatever somebody came with, I spoke the word back. I spoke the word back over myself and over my situation.
I had one. She's like, "Oh, God, you don't, how many times God's gonna give you? Keep telling you, he's giving you a way out." And I was looking like, and I like something in me, like I really got upset. Like I really got upset because then I was like, "But like, mm-hmm. I came this far, and I truly believe God is going to deliver my husband. He's going to have my husband home, and he's going to restore my marriage." Then I was like, they made me start questioning myself. Okay, so am I forcing God to do this? Is this not me? You know, is it not God? Is this me? And is that the truth? And then I'm looking like, well, that's not what God's word says. Like, and then I see myself. I'm like, saying to them, well, this is what I know. God has given me a word, and then I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I pray for you, like I'm crazy. Then I'm going like, okay, so
if God gave you that word, the devil out of hell cannot steal that word. If God gave you a word, because I believe if God wouldn't want me, I believe that God gave me that word, and I questioned it like you said, but when I got with my pastor, and people would confirm. Some people would confirm that word of restoration. I've had a couple of people confirm that word. So,
And we're going to probably have to continue this on another conference call. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're over time. We're probably going to have to just wrap this up with a prayer. And and maybe we'll have you back, Lakeisha, another time. But thank you very much, Lakeisha, for your time and for your wonderful testimony. I know that many on the call here have been fed and will learn a lot from this and have been blessed. So we thank you for that. I'm going to open this up real quick to, are there any men on the call here who would like to close this out with prayer? I'll give you an opportunity. Any men on the call who would like to close in prayer? No. Okay. I'll go ahead and close in prayer. Before I do, real quick, Lakeisha, thank you again for joining us. And we certainly appreciate your time, and thank you for sharing the testimony with us. We'll look forward to seeing everyone back on the share wall, on the prayer wall. But I'm going to go ahead and close it out with prayer. Yes, you are. I'm going to close out with prayer. Everyone, if you'll join me with prayer, and we'll thank the Lord for the mighty work that he's doing. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We want to thank you for who you are, that you are still on the throne. And we serve a mighty, mighty God who is in control of everything, knows the hairs on our heads, and knows our thoughts before we even think of them. Father, we apologize, and we ask for forgiveness for many times we place you in a box of our expectations, our limitations, and we place those limitations on you, believing that you can't do this and you can't do that. And we forget so quickly, so easily, that of your marvelous work, that you've created the universe, you've created all the stars, you've named them, and you call each one by name. You know each and everything about us so intricately that we don't even know ourselves that much. I mean, our own hearts, you tell us our own hearts deceive us, and we now see that. But you know our hearts, and you know what's really deep down inside. We want to thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us, that you would send your only Son. And if you would send your Son to die on the cross for us, how much more would you go and pursue the one that we're praying for, a husband or a wife that is in a far country? Father, you won't spare anything to pursue your son or your daughter who's become a prodigal and running away from not just our marriage, but running away from you. And we're told many times, we see it happening as well, that they're not really running from us. There might be certain situations where they are, but they're not really running from us. Our spouses are really running from you. And we thank you because you've given us all the tools to fight this battle, that we're not fighting our husband or wife. We're fighting the spiritual warfare. We're fighting the good fight of faith. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the tools. We thank you for exposing who the real enemy is to us and sharing with us the evil schemes that our enemy uses. We thank you for revealing all of that to us. You said that for lack of knowledge, your people perish. So, Father, we thank you for giving us knowledge and increasing our knowledge and increasing our wisdom and our discernment that only comes from you. And that it's helping us to understand what this battle is and how to stand for our marriage, how to approach you the right way, how to come before you in both repentance and obedience, so we might stand together with you in the gap and fight the spiritual battle to overcome our enemy and to have our marriage restored. Because we know that you love us. You love our prodigal. We know that you want our marriages restored. We know that that's your will. You plan your purpose for our marriages. We stand on that truth, Father. So we thank you for giving all of this to us that we need. And before we started our stance for our marriage, we didn't know that we needed all of this. and yet you had it all laid out in the Bible ready for us. And here we are. All we have to do is pick them up and stand and come before you, and you're fighting our battles for us. You've fought our battles for us. You've given us the victory. We thank you for that. And we want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, for all of us who are on this prayer call and the prayer wall and throughout the world, Father, for every single husband and wife who's standing for their marriage, whether it's been one day or 10 years, Father, we pray that you would strengthen and encourage each and every single husband and wife who's standing for their marriage. And we pray, Father, for every single prodigal here with us and throughout the world who's running away from their marriage, from you. We pray, Father, reach out to them through the Holy Spirit and your ministering angels to touch each of their hearts and minister to each of them and remind them that they belong to you and remind them that you have nothing but love and forgiveness for them. Just like the father in the prodigal son story, you're looking for them every single day and your arms are open wide, ready to forgive, ready to forgive and to forget and to restore. So, Father, we look to you for both sides, for the standard side and for the prodigal side, to do all that you need to do to breed the restoration into our families, into our marriages, into our lives. We thank you, Father, for loving us so much. We thank you for your promises. Father, we pray that as we close out our conference call and our prayer, that you would be with each and every single one of us tonight and throughout the week until next conference call again. Father, you continue ministering to each of our hearts, ministering to us and through us, so our spouses can see you through us, not us, but you. So we thank you, Father, for all of this. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
God bless you, everyone, for being here with us. We love you all. We'll see you on the prayer wall. God bless you. Have a blessed week. We'll see you again in a week.
Thank you very much. This was amazing. Thank you.
Good night. God bless you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
They go to like 10 or